Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for being with us today. I have something wonderful to share with you here. The Lord is getting his bride ready. So please cooperate. I want to share a revelation here about breach restored and the method, which is prayer. So this first revelation here is by Eve Brast, or given to Eve Brast on the 9th, March the 9th, 2017. And this is an exhortation to pray for those in the bride who are going through the love test, as we call it. Eve said, I dreamed that I was standing before a long rectangular table that was upon rocky ground. It had a white tablecloth spread over it. And I believe this represents a sanctified table, which is a table of food, right? Which actually makes one responsible to obey what they have received, right? Luke 12 and 48 says, to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more. So there, without receiving much, you don't grow much. You don't bear fruit much. But if you don't do anything with what you get, then you get dinged. She said there were silver platters of unleavened bread and wooden bowls of various fruits set all along the center of the table. Now, our spiritual food, which must be consumed so that it become a part of us, and that is from the old saying, we are what we eat. You know, what you eat goes into your cells and you become what you eat. You know, well, it's the same in the spiritual realm. We need to eat our food. There's no other way to make a beautiful bride. Okay. She said David was dressed like a waiter and was wearing a long sleeve maroon shirt and white apron. And I believe this represents that the Davids are washed in the blood and sanctified for service. He was peaceful and smiling as he was diligently setting the places at the table with a thick stack of maroon plates and crystal wine glasses. Well, they are serving the blood of Jesus, which is his life, his nature, his covenant. Matthew 26 and 28 says, for this, Jesus said, this what? This wine is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. And Luke 17, 11 tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So here we are partaking of Jesus' blood instead of our old natural parents' blood, right? And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. And John 6:54 and 55 and 56 says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. So that's, of course, what we have taught. And the unleavened bread is what we have taught. It's out of this that God is making the bride all over the world. Eve said, I believe waiter is a play on words that she will share in Isaiah 30 and 18 a little further down. And my thinking is it's speaking about the Davids will have to wait because of the delay. Okay, you'll understand that better in a moment. But she said, the wall of Jerusalem, which is the bride, right, according to what was told to John in Revelation, stood right behind the table with a 6-foot-long portion of it broken down. And it was broken through from the outside. So obviously 6 is the number of man. It's the number of the flesh. It's the number of the beast. And this represents an attack from this enemy without, right? Because it broke through from the outside. And of course, if our defenses aren't good, and there's a gap in our defenses, the breach will permit the enemy to come through. And this represents here a gap for the enemy to come into the midst of the bride because of a breach of disobedient thoughts and actions that give the devil permission. So, the cure is let us repent, let us pray, cast down the spirits of unforgiveness, faction, witchcraft, slander, criticism, hatred, rebellion, disobedience, etc., right? Repent of whatever is necessary to repent, right? Ezekiel 22 and 29 says, the people of the land, that is those who are now outside the bride city, have used oppression and exercised robbery. Yea, they have vexed the poor and needy and have oppressed the sojourner wrongfully. And I sought for, I would say, a righteous and repentant. I sought for a man, a righteous and repentant man, among them that should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. So obviously, the Lord needs somebody to stand in the gap, right, to keep the enemy from coming through. And that's your job. Okay, verse 31. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. This is what happens if you don't plug up the breach, right? I'll pour out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I brought upon their heads, says the Lord. Okay, we don't want to forget the sacrifice. Trust in the sacrifice. All right? Because that's how you're accounted righteous. So let us stand in the gap through repentance, faith, prayer, and spiritual warfare for those being tested by faction, so judgment does not take them out of the bride. Isaiah 5 and 5 says, and now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. I will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And we know the reason is because Galatians 5 and 9 says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The little leaven is a weakness in the wall, that leaven, because that's somebody that's in sin and judgment has to come to them, so therefore judgment comes through the wall, right? Eve received this word, which shows the plan of the enemy to sneak into our midst through factioning an unrepentant soul to stop the work. And it's Nehemiah 4:11. And our adversaries said, you know who the adversaries are, right? The devil's an adversary, and all his little demon imps are adversaries, right? They shall not know, neither see, till we come into the midst of them and slay them. Well, come into the midst how? In some unrepentant person who is given over to faction to attack the brethren. And cause the work to cease. So we know that that's exactly what the devil's purpose is in these attacks. God's got a completely different purpose, and that is to sanctify the bride of unrighteousness because the wicked fall away, right? And faction is death. It's separation from God through unforgiveness. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. If you're not forgiven, you don't have a part in this covenant. And with faction comes every vile deed, the Bible says. James 3:16, for where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every vile deed. And this is so, we have seen it. We've seen people fall into the most corrupt sins that obviously they will be ashamed of when they get their brains back. They need to be humbled, and that's what this is, God's way to do it. Praise God. And, of course, this is what we've been working for, to fill the granaries, to feed the people, to build up the sanctification wall for Joseph's 7 days of famine that are coming, right? And the enemy, the adversaries, want to cause the work to cease, right? So pray that the work goes on and prospers. Amen. I heard Jesus' voice behind me say, the feast will be delayed. Oh, gosh, we didn't want to hear that, right? Because why is that? The bride's not ready. That's right. Why? The feast will be delayed. I finished his sentence, as I said to myself, until the breach is repaired. Amen. So we have an opportunity here to repair the breach, and the Lord's going to show us how, right? The feast here is likely the marriage feast. He said the feast will be delayed. It's probably the marriage feast of 7 days, which are 7 years, actually. When Jesus comes in the man-child David's to feast with the bride for 7 day years. Like the 70th week of Daniel is actually a week of years, right? And that's the tribulation. And, of course, after the 7 day years, the virgins escort the bride and groom to the groom's home in heaven. Praise the Lord. A lot of people didn't know that. They thought the virgins were the bride. And then it was a pre-trib rapture. No. They don't escort until the end of the 7 days. So this 7 day years is the tribulation. If it's delayed in the spring Passover, meaning that's when they went into the wilderness tribulation, you know, back in the Exodus, right? So if it's delayed in the spring Passover, it could come in the fall feasts. You know, there's a sign in the heavens. I believe it's September the 23rd of the man-child being born to the woman, the Revelation 12 sign. I've always said, too, though, that it can happen anytime because when X comes through, it tips the planet in the northern hemisphere out into space away from the sun, and there's, they say, 3 days of darkness. And of course, at that time, you see a totally different heaven. And that's when you look up at Revelation 12, you look up and you see the dragon, that thing is already tipping the earth. So this could happen at any time, and it would be just like God. Signs don't have to happen on signs, you know. Okay. So let us pray that the breach is repaired by God, granting repentance, and that none of the brethren will receive faction, and we will cast down what's already here, right? Thank you, Father, for giving us this warning and showing us how to cast down, be a repairer of the breach. Amen. She said, I was disappointed by this realization of the delay in the dream. I heard Jesus say, Isaiah 58. So when I got to work, I looked it up to see what it said. And as soon as I opened to chapter 58, my eyes fell on verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? She said, I think it's interesting that verse 12 mentions, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, yeah, which the enemy seeks to come into the midst, right? So repairing the breach that the enemy uses to invade the bride is done by repentance, faith in prayer, fasting, obedience to the word, and especially in our thoughts. And Eve said, I'm also reminded of the dream where Elijah was a giant awaiting surgery, and David, the surgeon, said, it will be delayed. This text given to Eve, this Isaiah 58 text, was given two more times to others by faith at random, all in a very short period of a few days. So God was really focusing us on this. So let's focus on it a minute, okay? Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and declare unto my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. So unrepentant sin enables the enemy to come in and destroy the sinners, so that the body of the bride will be sanctified and the revival can start. However, we'd rather see people repent. And that's what this is all about. Verse 2, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near unto God. But it seems like that they're in denial of obvious sin here. And there are people like that. They're in denial. They've got rejection, and their fear of rejection causes them to deny their sin. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find your own pleasure, and exact all your labors. In other words, fasting has to go with the crucified life, not the pleasures of fleshly lusts, right? Behold, you fast for strife and contention, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You fast not this day, so as to make your voice to be heard on high. So people who defend their demons are always blaming others for what God is chastening them for. Verse 5, is such the fast that I have chosen, the day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a rush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? In other words, as we read on, you'll see that the most important fast is to not feed self. In other words, to deny self in the crucified life, as the rest of this text speaks of. Is it not, that is the acceptable fast, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, and when thou seest the naked that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Notice the crucified life, the sacrificial life, so on, you know. This is a symbol of denying our own sin, you know. Hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Denying your own sin. In other words, confess your sin and meet the brethren's needs so that you can have this blessing. What blessing? Well, the next verse says in verse 8, then shalt thy light break forth as the morning. Oh, the shining light, glory of God, right? Thy healing shall spring forth speedily. So many are afflicted, or family is afflicted, because of denial of sin. And like I said, most often it's for fear of rejection that causes that, or pride, one or the other. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. He'll be protected, right? Then shalt thou call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he will say, here I am. Well, he will answer the repentant soul very quickly, won't he? If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking wickedly, in other words, accusing others, right? Critical spirit, blaming your problems on other people, like the factious do. When we know that a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. So when judgment comes, it's coming because of your sins, right? Verse 10 goes on to say, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in darkness, and thine obscurity be as the noonday. And it's kind of hard to have any darkness at noonday, right? And the Lord will guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in dry places and make strong thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Now that sounds like the bride, doesn't it? Verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And we have fallen a long ways from what was first given, right? So we need a restoration there. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. So this text is about repairing the breach. The restorer of paths to dwell in. So the repentant will restore the breach, and the enemy cannot touch them or their family, and they will not use them to destroy others like the factious do. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, not doing thine own ways, or finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. All that's breaking the Sabbath, right? Because the Sabbath is ceasing from your works. Amen? And words here are a revelation of a person's heart. Matthew 12 and 34 says, you offspring of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. When people speak evil, when they're critical, when they're angry and unforgiving, guess what? They're revealing what's in their heart. And then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Oh, God's got great promises for these people. Amen. Those who rest from their own works will find success in every direction, and especially a high calling of God in Christ like the bride. Amen. I asked Father, what could we do to repair the breach in our wall? And my finger was on the word sift from Isaiah 30 and 28. And the context is 27 through 31. 27 says, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from afar, burning with his anger, and in thick rising smoke. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire, and his breath is as an overflowing stream that reacheth even unto the neck. Doesn't sound good, does it? To sift the nations with the sieve of destruction. Now, a sieve separates, right? It separates what is wanted from what is not wanted, right? And, of course, what's not wanted is usually discarded or destroyed. And so he's going to sift the nations and get what he wants out of it. Is that what he's saying? I would say so. And a bridle that causeth to err shall be in the jaws of the peoples. So this is how he brings destruction to the people. A bridle that causes, you know what James talked about, the tongue, right? 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11 says, for this cause God sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie. And this is exactly what's happening. This is how he's cleaning out the bride. That they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Boy. Verse 29. You shall have a song as in the night, when a holy feast is kept. Sounds a lot like the Passover. It's a Passover of judgment because you ate the Lamb, Jesus, the Word of God. Amen. And remember, you are what you eat. When you eat the Word of God, it means you're going to be obedient to it. and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come unto the mountain of the Lord. So they're happily going to Zion, the bride. Interesting. To the rock of Israel, because that's where his presence is, right? And the Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. In fact, he's going to cause it to be heard out of Zion, he said. And will show the lighting, down of his arm with the indignation of his anger and the flame of devouring fire, with a blast and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian, that's the Sennacherib scenario there, be dismayed. With his rod will he smite him. So God will smite the factious spirits, this Sennacherib scenario, and save the bride when we've all repented, because there's a purpose in all this, right? The purpose is to sanctify. Verses 9 through 13 mention the breach and its cause. For it is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, that say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. So the rejects hate the word, and that's throughout the Bible. And get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and rely thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach. Ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, the breach in the wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant. So the rebellious who hate correction of the word are a traitorous breach for faction to enter the body. And Eve said, verse 18 reminds me of David dressed as a waiter. As mentioned earlier, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all they that wait for him. So let us come to repentance that this delay be no longer than necessary. Right? And rather than all of us suffer longer because of the breaches, God will remove by faction those who do not repent. And by this delay, he is offering more time for the elect to repent. Amen? Oh, thank you, Father. We appreciate that, Lord. We want to be ready. Lord, we've prayed for some we see lacking, and we would so much rather you grant them repentance than to take them out. And so we pray for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then Michael Hare. It's amazing how we get these things at the same time. on March the 10th, 2017, and we call this prayer Restores Harmony. I had a dream this morning in two parts. In part one, David and I and other men were around an old building containing an old boiler that was beginning to overpressurize. Well, old boilers, when they overpressurize, can explode. So, and we believe this represents the old faction coming back. The old building, the old faction. The boiler, overpressurizing. People coming to the boiling point, right? David and I and another man were on top of the building. And I believe you know that faction speaking slander is usually against us, you know, because they want to destroy the body, right? And UBM and its works, you know. Somehow David had gotten down off the building. So basically no longer in danger, although those, let me say that those on the roof of the boiler are in the least danger. Those in the boiler that are coming to the boiling point are the most, in the most danger. So watch and pray, saints. Don't let it come to you. Don't let you not be a part of this, right? I and this other man were still on top. The other man, a young man, jumped off the roof onto the parking lot. I was going out on the overhang to look to see if I could jump, but changed my mind and went down by climbing down the pipes and valves that were there. And that was, of course, to escape the danger. The point of the faction is to, they most often come against the leadership, right? Because just like the dragon wanted to take possession of the woman going into the wilderness, but the man-child had her, right? He tried, he failed. By the time I got to the bottom, the pressure had been let off somehow. We had all thought it was going to blow up, but God saved us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the second scene below seems to be about a faction attempt in the midst, okay? And Michael said, in part two, I saw a camp setting with bunk beds all around in a wilderness. Our wilderness testings and trials, I believe, is what this represents. David's bed was on one side of the camp and mine was on the other. Probably 20, 20 is the number of redemption, or 30, which is the number of the blood. They kind of go together, don't they? Probably 20 or 30 beds, which represents the rest, which is you got, which is what you get when you get redemption by the blood, located outside in a camp. Well, that sounds like a wilderness trial, doesn't it? There was someone who was going to go to a liquor store to get something to drink. Not sure whether it was whiskey or beer, but I think it was beer. And I think this represents fleshly attempts to escape the trial. People use liquor to escape, right? They want a delusional mind. and the factions have a drunken spirit. This represents an attempt to self-medicate personal peace and security that actually brings delusion, as drinking does. And really, there is no peace and security, is there? No, there isn't. You just think you have it. And David was against it, and there was a sort of rebellion because of this. Well, a faction to see things their own way is delusional. These demons want to manipulate us so they can take advantage to destroy the work that's so destructive to their kingdom. This same morning, by the way, Missy got this word by faith at random, John 15:17 on down. These things I command you, that they may love one another, that ye may love one another. And if the world hateth you, you know that it hath hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Sounds similar to all the prophets in the Old Testament and the people that came against them and all the apostles in the New Testament and the people that came against them, including Jesus, you know, just is history repeating. Remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Yes, they've all heard the truth, and are rebelling against everything that they've ever learned, and losing, literally losing everything that they've ever learned, because they don't understand it anymore. It's not in their memory anymore. There's no faith anymore. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law: they hated me without a cause. And not one jot or one tittle will pass away from the law until it's all fulfilled, right? Yeah. And Leon also got a word this same morning. 2 Corinthians 2:9-11. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you are obedient in all things. But to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For what I also have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, for your sakes have I forgiven it in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Yes, if you don't have forgiveness, Satan has the advantage. He has permission to take you out because you're not forgiven. David then said, let's pray in the Spirit. Then he walked off praying. They then came to me to try to get me to agree with them to go to the liquor store. So it's another attempt at faction to, you know, bring people into delusion, their delusion, right? And come into the midst to divide, going behind people's backs, right? They were trying to persuade me to agree with them, and I told them the same thing as I saw David do by saying, let's pray in the Spirit. Well, they didn't like it, but they complied. All right. I believe this is a faction failing here. A pressure explosion being averted by God, just as in the first dream, right? Then David came back, and there was an old piano that had been on the side of the camp where I was. And it was now on David's side of the camp, because on his side of the camp they tried to faction, right? So there was no harmony there. No harmony in faction. And the harmony was on my side of the camp now. David asked me if I wanted to move over to his side of the camp, where the piano was, right? The harmony. But I had things to do on the other side of the camp, which is restore harmony. You know, of course, that's what we always do, right? We want the love of the brethren. Then I saw two women coming up to us, a younger woman that I think was Deborah. That's my daughter. And walking ahead was Mary. That's my wife. And they came right up to David, and Mary was happy to see David, and it was a good meeting for David. So this is a symbol of harmony being restored to my spiritual wife and daughter. Right? You see that? Well, I mean, things are there for no... They fit in with the text. You know, the interpretation always fits with the text. It's not just some willy-nilly thing, you know. So I asked for a word by faith at random and received 2 Corinthians 1:3-12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our affliction. In other words, harmony restored. How about that? Got the piano on your side. That we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So our harmony is restored so that we can restore others. Right? For as the sufferings of Christ abound unto us, even so our comfort also aboundeth through Christ. Harmony restored. But whether we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or whether we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which worketh in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So our harmony is restored, so we can restore others' harmony. And, of course, closing up the breach is the way harmony is restored, because then the enemy can't come in the midst, right? So what the bride learns before the tribulation will be given to the church during the tribulation. Remember what John said about Jesus and the disciples, right? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He was raising up these people to send them forth to spread the revival. Glory be to God. And verse 7, and our hope for you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so also are ye of the comfort. So our harmony is restored, so we can restore others. Glory be to God. For we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning our affliction which befell us in Asia, that we were weighed down exceedingly beyond our power, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Well, they were constantly being attacked, slandered, everything, you know. Yea, we ourselves have had the sentence of death within ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. Yeah, because the devil's always trying to get you in your own works when people are attacking you and doing evil to you and so on and so forth. But you just have to learn to be patient and rest and cease and so on and so forth. So harmony is restored through God. And, as we saw, praying in tongues. Verse 10, who delivereth us out of so great a death and will deliver, on whom we have set our hope, that he will also still deliver us. He will restore the bride's harmony. He will close up the breaches, right? Pray. Pray, saints. Verse 11. You also helping together on our behalf by your supplication. There it is, right? That for the gift bestowed upon us by means of the many. So we need the many out there to do the praying, right? You can help do this by your prayers. Thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. In other words, they will glorify God for the deliverance, right? For our glorying is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and in sincerity of God, not in fleshly wisdom, but in grace of God, we behaved ourselves in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. So, we learn to behave ourselves through God's grace, not man's wisdom, right? And Brandy also got a word this same day. And he asked, is the faction over? Are we going to lose any more? And Sue got these same verses the day before. Isaiah 60, 19 through 22. That's two witnesses there. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. This is the light going forth that we just talked about, right? But the Lord will be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. So God in you will be that light shining forth, right? Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be thine everlasting light. Oh, glory to God. It's just shining out of you, saints. And the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Oh, you know, the trials, the troubles, the tribulations, the factions, the things like that, the torments of the wicked, He says, thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. When is it going to be over? When the glory of God comes. And that's the work of God. He's cleaning up the body. Those that don't want to repent, he removes through faction. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Yes, in a much larger body. Praise God. The little one shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Now, if that isn't the picture of revival, I don't know what is. Yes. And that's what the Lord is raising the bride up to do, is to bring this awesome revival. Oh, praise God. Thank Lord, come quickly, Lord. We want to see this. We want to see the power of God go forth, the healing of God go forth, the deliverance of God go forth. Thank you, Father. So, let me say, brethren, that please stand in the gap for the brethren being tested by faction. It is the love test for the bride that's among you. Pray by faith, believing that God will have mercy and bring forgiveness to their hearts and change them. It's better to be changed than removed. But he will have a clean, spotless bride, even if he has to remove the spots. Amen. Ezekiel 22 and 30 and 31. Once more, I sought for a man among them that should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. So, will you stand in the gap? Will you stand in the gap by your faith, by your prayers, by your spiritual warfare to cast down the works of Satan, the enemy that wants to come through the gap, take out the church, take out the bride? Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I brought upon their heads, says the Lord Jehovah. Well, how? You know, the Lord is, this is the way people learn the best, is when they suffer for their own deeds. Whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. The Lord does that so people will learn and repent, right? And all of these brethren have suffered, and I'm asking that Father consider it enough and grant them repentance, and that his grace would put love of the brethren in their hearts, and also pray that the Father would give us all faith for this battle, right? So obviously the Lord wants us to deny ourselves and sacrifice our flesh to do this. And also, according to the dream above, we pray in tongues to bring harmony in the bride, because the Holy Spirit can do the work. He prays in faith. He knows what to pray for. This is what the Bible says. And, of course, that's why God gave us this awesome gift. And we want to see miracles. We want to cover all the bases in prayer and to do spiritual warfare. And, of course, believe we have received, as Jesus said, when we pray. So pray the prayer of faith, right? Those being tested have done the same for us, and it's time to reciprocate, right? Also pray for the elect among the faction to be freed from bondage. They may not be in the bride, but they'll be restored and have a great witness and a testimony in the coming days because of what they've gone through. Just like Nebuchadnezzar's witness and testimony to the people of how his pride brought him to a very low estate, a beastly mind, and separated him from the brethren. But he learned that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And those that are proud, he's able to abase. That's what he said. And that's exactly what God is doing. Oh, thank you, Father. Well, Father, thank you for this lesson, and thank you for all the brethren out there that will sacrifice and do the prayer and do the warfare and cast down Satan. And Lord, we know you taught us to see the end from the beginning, and we do so. We believe we have the victory. We were sanctified by the sacrifice of Jesus once and for all. We thank you, Father, that we can trust in the blood of the Lamb to cover our inconsistencies, and that you will deal with us about any kind of willful disobedience so that we may be a partaker with the saints in this high calling. We thank you for doing that, Lord. We need it. We thank you for sanctifying the body, Lord. We know that before you decide to bring forth the bride, begin the marriage feast, that one of two things are going to happen. Either people will repent and be holy and righteous, or you will use faction to remove them from the bride. And Lord, we know that's your work. We praise you for it. We love you, Lord. We give thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you taught us to do, Lord. And you want us to be restorers of the breach. So, Father, we thank you for deliverance for your people from these wicked spirits that test and try in the wilderness tribulation that we're in. And Lord, we know the bride is being prepared to be the one who takes the revival from the man-child and spreads it throughout the world. And so you're sanctifying a body to bring forth a revival, an amazing revival, the most amazing revival that the world has ever seen. And a holiness revival too, not just healing and deliverance and miracles and salvations, but a holiness revival, being restored to sanctity, the wall, separated from the world because the breaches have been closed up. That is sanctification. Lord, we thank you for that. We claim it in Jesus' name. We praise you for it. It is in your hand to do, Lord. And you are the one who grants repentance to your people. It's a gift, but we can ask for mercy. And when we ask for mercy, I know you hear, Lord. We thank you for mercy for your bride that you are raising up to show the world the image of what the true church is supposed to look like. And it's sad that the whole church can't be in the bride. But many of them are sidetracked, Lord, by deceivers, led into captivity. You said that your people were in holes, trapped in holes in the earth. Yes, it's true. They're trapped in Babylon. And they have to come out of captivity to go back to Zion to rebuild the wall in their lives as well as in the corporate life of the people of God. So, Father, we praise you for doing this work. It's nothing that we can do without you. We depend totally and perfectly on your mercy and grace. So, Lord, pour forth of your Spirit upon us. Fill us mightily with your Spirit. I know there's many out there that have been filled with the Spirit for years, but sometimes they forget to get refilled with the Spirit because obviously what is going out of us and into others needs to be replaced. And we thank you, Father, for moving mightily upon our hearts, restoring us, and restoring the breach so that the wall of sanctification is clearly seen and obeyed. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, saints, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for joining in prayer together for this awesome thing. I mean, obviously, God is not going to start the tribulation until his bride is ready. And the man-child, too, has been ready and anointed to lead the bride and to the church throughout the world and restore the kingdom as it was in a way in the days of David and in the ways of the Son of David, Jesus Christ. Restore the kingdom as it was then. So many have lied to God's people. So many have told them it's different. It's like we are now. God doesn't do that anymore, you know. No, these liars have taken away the hope, the power, the anointing, the baptism of the Spirit from God's people and made them captives to their own little religious cliques. But the Lord is about to do something about that. When the bride is seen and the power goes forth, the power in the man-child, the power in the bride. Remember, Jesus sent out those that John called the bride. He sent them out to do the same thing he did. And the whole world was shaken. And wow. Pray for this revival, saints. Pray. Remember the northern army in Joel that came against the bride in Jerusalem, who was repentant and sanctified, and that army was smitten. That's the same thing as the Sennacherib scenario. That army was smitten, and the Lord left behind the revival, the former and latter rain. Because actually, both are going to happen in these days, right? Amen. All right, bless you, saints, and thank you so much for joining us today. We love you. Bless you. Bye-bye.